You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast. Another special edition of the Peristyle Podcast. We're actually remote. We are on site down in Wilmington at the brand new facility, the John College Throwing Center here at South Bay Athletic Club. And we got three special guests we're going to be talking about. U.S. track and field, talk about NIL, about throwing. I'm going to learn a whole lot about Olympic sports that I don't know too much about here. So we've got three special guests. We've got John Kolich, a former USC thrower and definitely an advocate for USC men's and women's track. We also have Martin Malik. He's a two-time Olympian, who's now the throwing coach at USC. Down here, we're at the Throwing Center, like I said, on off-campus facility. And we also have Connor McCullough, who's the president of the South Bay Athletic Club. We're going to talk about that too, NIL, charity work, all that kind of stuff. But thanks all you guys for coming in. John, first we'll start with you. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Having fun. Sun's out today.
It's great. It's a beautiful day. It's a great facility down here. It's got your name on it.
Thank you.
It's pretty cool. When did this open? When did you guys open this?
We've been operating for probably a year and a half.
Okay.
But just finished it up about 2 months ago.
All right. I'll share some of the pictures and stuff we have up on the site from what's going on with USC and everything. So the branding and all that stuff. But we're going to talk to Martin, too, because you guys get to use this, right? Like, as you know, instead of working out at now the Allison Felix Field and tearing that up with the hammer throws, you can do that stuff down here.
Oh, this is a great opportunity for our throwers. Really convenient and a state-of-the-art, obviously, facility. Nothing like it in U.S., and John was very, very grateful to let us use it as well. So we're very happy. Yep.
Yeah, John, you got your name. I was a very generous person, apparently, for the track. We'll talk about that, too. He gave me a tour last week of the new track building, John Kolich. What is the official name of that?
It's the Kolich Track and Field Center.
Yeah, Kolich Track and Field Center, which is amazing in there. So I'll share some pictures up on social media and on USCFootball.com about that as well. And we also have Connor, another former, you guys all, you know, another former Olympian, right? He says, yes. And now the president of the South Bay Athletic Club, but thanks for coming in too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's great to have you here.
So maybe real quick before we jump into everything, what is the South Bay Athletic Club? Give me the elevator pitch for people that don't know.
So the South Bay Athletic Club is primarily a community engagement organization. We're a nonprofit and we specialize in bringing elite athletes into the community to inspire and engage the next generation of athletes.
Nice. That sounds great. And involved with that, we got to meet the first time at a different kind of like NIL event with our buddy Jake Olson over at Let's Engage. And then I didn't realize when John had pointed you out, like, I've met Connor before. So it all kind of comes around. I guess it's a small group or something.
Yeah, absolutely. The Trojan family is a tight group. And the Engage group is great. They're great partners in everything we do with football, especially. It's a small group.
So I wanted to just let everyone know what we're doing. It's a regular podcast show, but this is different because we are remote. Actually, all brand new equipment. Took me, I don't know, like 10 minutes or something, or maybe more. Sorry, guys. Just set all this up. But we are in, we're in the throwing center. This is the snack room or something. Is this where we, you know, outside? But the guys gave me, there's a cool weight room here with an amazing mural with a lot of former USC Olympians on it. And then going out to check out the training facility itself, where you can throw the hammer, discus, and shot put and all that. So it's really great. If you have any questions or comments for the show, our regular shows will go normally going forward, but you can just email us podcast@uscfootball.com or call or text us at 424-254-9141. If you have some track and field questions, I can email these guys afterwards, but we won't be able to do it on the show now because we're not recording this live or anything. And I do want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's, who've been amazing to us the last several years. And, this is the first time we're doing any kind of remote sponsorship with Trader Joe's. So thanks for that. I love going in there, going every week. I don't know what you guys like. I go in the wine and cheese area a lot. Yeah, it's a good little snack. I know you. It's probably, East European thing. You guys do that a lot, right?
Yeah, we do. Just quality. And they have great quality.
Yeah.
We love Trader Joe's. The service is fantastic. So really like it there.
Seeing the one across from USC, too. So I'm sure a lot of people, students go over there a lot to take advantage of that stuff. All right. Well, thanks again to Trader Joe's. And John, I guess we can kind of start with you sort of. There's two new track facilities that are part of this. People probably don't know your background, but you were originally given a partial scholarship to USC track and field. And that's kind of like, it's something you've kind of held near and dear to your heart ever since. And you've been a real advocate for the track and field program, I guess, from when you were a young age, when you were in college.
Yeah. Well, back in 1966, my brother, I have a twin brother, was a very good shot putter. And Coach Wolf gave him a scholarship. And back then, they had so many scholarships. They had like 30 scholarships. After I was in school and everything else, Coach Wolf called my dad and said, "You didn't think John would like a half scholarship," which I really didn't deserve because I wasn't that good. But he had so many scholarships. He had 30 scholarships that he decided to give me a half scholarship. And, I really appreciate that. And since then, I've been giving back to the university. And my dad was a gigantic fan. Actually, my dad built the first weight room at USC in 1966. So that's when it started. The giving started back when we started college in 66.
Yeah, that's amazing that your dad was a part of that. I think when we met on campus, and I think I like when I was on the club volleyball team at USC, I think I worked out in that thing a little bit. It seemed old then. That was a long time ago, but it's funny that. But now what you guys have done, starting with the track and field, the build, like, where there was just wasn't a lot of room. Like you see, now Allison Felix Field, there just wasn't a whole lot of room to build anything there. And walking through that place, was it like 7,500 square feet or something in that range?
Right.
It feels way bigger inside. Like there's way more packed in there. It's like you Tetris everything in there somehow. I mean, it's pretty amazing for this little corner of basically the track.
Well, we had a great architect, Joe Antunovich, who was on the track team with me. And now he's one of the best architects in the United States out of Chicago. And we, 10 years ago, we were just leaving a banquet and we walked into the facilities and we saw that they were just terrible. Worst facilities on campus. And the locker room was so bad that the athletes didn't even use the locker rooms. That's how bad they were. So Joe decided to put a drawing together and on this little corner piece where there used to be a shed, and he came up with this fantastic drawing and he just hooked me. And then we moved forward. Took us about 8 years to get it done because it took a long time to raise the funds.
Yeah,
but we got it done, and it's absolutely beautiful.
It's amazing inside there. And Martin, I just want, like, most of the listeners, they're big football fans. Maybe they like follow basketball and stuff. And we're trying to talk more about some of the other sports that maybe aren't as revenue generating or whatever. But what kind of difference does something like that make for like the track and field athletes and you guys as a staff?
Oh, it's enormous. I can tell you from student experience, student athlete experience, it's huge. They really feel valued when they walk into the building, when they walk into the locker rooms, because they've been on official visits on other universities, right? So they can compare that. And when they come in here, and also for recruiting wise, for us coaches, that's amazing. It's such a huge uphand. But for student athletes, like I said, it's experience that they give them, that they are valued, they are track and field. We don't bring revenue, like you said. But they really feel like a part of university, a huge part that makes a huge difference in their life, in the approach that they give to the track. And I always say how you do anything is how you do everything. And it trickles down to academics as well, because they feel special, because they are. So that facility made a huge difference for our recruiting and student athletes in general. So, yeah.
You mentioned recruiting. John mentioned like all the scholarships that they were just giving away. Like, guys, I guess he wasn't very good, but I'm just kidding.
I'm
sure. There's very limited scholarships with track, and at a school like USC that's private and very expensive, I mean, that does make it harder. I mean, how challenging does that make on the recruiting front, just knowing that you don't have, especially on the men's side, there's not a lot of scholarships to give out.
Yeah. No, you're right. It does make a huge difference when it went from 30 to 12 on the men's side. But stuff like the facilities that we have, goes a long way. So we can have those athletes that are best of the best of the best, right? Yeah. Come here and visit and check it out. What we have, what John has built is amazing on track and off track. So we are blessed with that, and now we can pick the best of the best. And you can see how we're performing along those lines really well. So.
Yeah, well, the 12 championships is happening. We'll get into that a little bit. But I want to talk about this facility, too. So, you know, how did this come about? Because it's when I've talked to you offline and, I was talking to Connor about this. We were walking around the field. He showed me when you throw a hammer, I mean, it just tears up the field. So trying to do that on Allison Felix Field would be, you know, it's just, you can't do it. You have the areas where you can, the netting and everything you can throw, but nothing this, where it's basically just have a field that's dedicated to getting tossed because the hammer just tears up the field. It's like, being on a golf course with enormous divots all over the place. So it's kind of crazy, but how did this kind of come about?
Well, SC has never had a hammer throw facility. They had to go to Cal State Northridge or Cal State or Long Beach State, or never once in over 100 years have they had a hammer throw facility, but yet they've had world champion and Olympic champion hammer throwers. So about 10 years ago, we had a very good coach named Dan Lang, and for about 10 years ago, I went with Dan and me and my friend Joe Antunucci, the architect, tried to find a spot to build a hammer throw area. And that was 10 years ago. We met with Pat Hayden and we drove over to where now the soccer stadium is and now the other big buildings are. And we asked them, can we build here? Can we build here? And they all kept coming back and saying, I think we have bigger ideas for these areas. So nothing worked out. And then about 3 years ago, I started looking anywhere up and down the 110 freeway. And I got together with our city councilman, Joe Busciano, and he recommended this 19-acre site, which was in disarray, complete disarray. It's called the Carson Athletic Complex. I mean, the Wilmington Athletic Complex. And it was just trashed. And the guy that was here had a 40-year lease on it, and he wasn't taking care of it, okay?
Yeah. I see the before and after pictures.
Yeah. So they finally kicked him off, then they put it out for a public bid for someone to take over the complex. And then by doing that, I had to repair all 19 acres. And at presently, I'm still taking care of 19 acres. I'm taking care of softball fields, I'm taking care of baseball fields, I'm taking care of soccer fields, plus our own 3-acre complex for the throwers. And that hopefully will end soon, and then I'll end up with just the 3 acres. But I have to take care of the whole facility until it happens. And then they promised me a 30 or 40 year lease just on the 3 acres, which is a throwing complex.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm waiting for. But it's been a long, long process, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, it looks amazing. And Connor, I wanted to get your kind of thoughts on this and how the kind of South Bay Athletic Club is kind of tied into all this. And I know there's all the charity work, the Boys and Girls Club are here. You have to let other people use it. So it kind of, you can probably tie it together a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. So it definitely started off with John's inspiration 10 plus years ago, trying to get a throwing facility for the long throws that's dedicated that USC can use. And then came along NIL. And that's where the community involvement and the nonprofit arm came in to build off of what was already started. And so now at this location, we host regular interactions between USC track and field athletes and the Boys and Girls Club kids right across the street, where they get a little bit of inspiration and access, and it humanizes these athletes who otherwise they would never have access to. It also exposes them to a unique sport in the throws, which has great opportunity for especially women in terms of scholarships, whether it's USC or other D1, D2 schools all around the country. There's a big demand. And a lot of these sports, it's about skill acquisition. It's not as talent heavy. So if you are 3 or 4 years ahead in learning the skills involved in the throws, it really makes a big difference. And your marketability to colleges and universities across the country is really, really high. So what we envision is in the years to come, some of these kids who have access now because of this facility earn scholarships and access to university anywhere across the country. And then the next step is with the LA 2028 Olympics coming up. We're hoping that, you know, maybe one of these athletes has the grit and the drive and now has the access to possibly, you know, vie for a spot on that Olympic team.
Wow. So that would be impressive if you could have someone, oh, yeah, they trained here and now they're American Olympic champion. Or I guess if for, I mean, we have multiple countries represented too, right? There's other people that would train here, like university athletes, not just like, you know, Americans.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've had guys from New Zealand, Italy, many different countries train here already. And so, yeah, absolutely. If there are locals who have our first generation, like myself, my dad's Irish, and they decide to compete for their home country, they absolutely could do that as well.
The breakdown of what you guys do here, I know there's the Boys and Girls Club just across the street, the involvement with the community, but also professionals coming to train, you know, athletes from, you know, collegiate athletes like USC, where it's branded all over the place. Like, what's sort of like the ratio of like who uses it most, or and what you guys envision kind of going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. So part of the vision of this facility in the first place is creating the most sustainable and successful model that I've seen, you know, in my travels across the world, competing internationally. And those clubs that succeed and produce the most high quality talent across the world are ones where the elite athletes interact regularly with the up and comers. So you get the inspiration and the mentorship combined in one space. And those seem to be the clubs where if you look, you know, at the best throwing countries in the world, the best track countries in the world, you see those kind of clubs, and that's their structure. So we're hoping to create that here. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is combine the elite with the youth. So the elite give back and the youth benefit. So in terms of usage, you know, it's pretty equal across the board. We're not at the point where we're going to have to, you know, shut it down for anybody right now. We're not full over capacity. So yeah, we're just hoping to keep that going, get as many kids exposed and taught and into a good training program.
For you and the throwers at USC, how much has this changed things and changed your routine? Like we're just down the freeway. So if you're not familiar with Wilmington, it's in the South Bay, but basically just take a 110 South from USC. Now 10 miles or something like that. And you're here. I mean, has this been a game changer for you guys at all, I guess you could say?
Absolutely. And I know from experience that Connor had and the previous coach, Dan, here, they had to travel different sites to throw. For throwing, you need consistency. And this gives us more than just consistency. We can throw here every day, four times a week. We can come here at any time. We don't have to wait for other teams to the facilities that they shared in the past. It gives us so much more upper hand, like I said, in that consistency. And as Connor mentioned, throwing is you need skills to acquire skills over time. And this gives us just that, so we can compete. We had a young man, huge PR this year, in a hammer throw. Nick did about 6 meters, and that's really, really far. But we were able to do that because now we have access continuously to facilities like this. So for our athletes, this is enormous. It gives them that opportunity that they can hone in their skills every day or four times a week, right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's been open a year and a half, right? Is that about? Or?
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half. And one thing good about it, too, is you can throw here from 6 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night. We have lights. We may have lights out here. So if you want, there are some professionals here that throw because they have to work. So they work till 6. They get here at 6:30. It's dark in the winter. And then they can throw with the lights on. And they can use the weight room, too, all the time. So it's unique in that there's no restriction. There's no collegiate rules, restrictions for people to work out here. And we don't have any bands out there on the field. We don't have any soccer players on the field. No. We don't have any cheerleaders on the field. It's just one use, and that's for throwing. And that's any collegiate field. They don't have that typical where you just have a facility just for throwing.
Okay. And then Martin, being open, I guess, like a season or two now, how has that changed sort of the recruiting pitch and with the way you've been able to recruit? I mean, has it made a difference, the kind of athletes you can bring in?
Oh, of course. This facility went viral worldwide. I mean, there's nothing like it in U.S. that is open for anybody all the time, right? So John does. I did a great job with setting this up for the whole community, right? So people seeing this around the world, they know about this facility, John College Throw Center. Like we mentioned, we had throwers from all around the world that came here and trained for 2 weeks and threw. A young man from New Zealand, he threw almost his national record. So he really closed just for a couple of days he was here. So this gives us, yes, a lot of exposure to the world, to U.S. And like I say, it's very unique. It's free. John does it for community. He does it for these young men and women who need to be exposed to this sport. And like Connor said, you don't need to be a beast to be a good thrower. You just need to do it over a couple of years. And in high school, it's really hard. But it's impossible to find a facility that you can have a hammer ring that is certified by World Athletics that you can train at for as much as you need to for over the years, right? So this is a huge for us, for USC. Obviously, it's very close to us, but it's very huge for community and throwing world in US. This is going to definitely Olympians already through here.
Okay,
and there's going to be Olympians They're being built right now. They're going to compete in LA and Olympics going forward because of this field.
You're from Croatia originally, mm-hmm. and then you said your dad's from Ireland. I'm just curious, internationally, is it big, are some of the track sports bigger than they are here? Like it would be, if you guys both can comment.
Absolutely. The track and field is much bigger sport internationally. You can see from world championships, Olympic Games, European championships, fill stadiums. And when you go to compete, Connor knows, in Europe, you'll have full stands. A couple of places in the U.S. that you have that in Europe almost every meet, different leagues. And like we talked about, there's the reason, I think, because you do start earlier. You develop love for that sport. You know how hard it is. But when you start earlier in Europe, you have these clubs like South Bay Athletic Club that have kids who are 13, 14, 15 years old throwing and training with Olympians already. So they already get exposed to what's necessary to train well, how you need to train well, what's a good technique, what's a good routine. And it just, when you are in this sport for a couple of years, you get to enjoy it really, really, really well. And the excitement is much, much higher.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Track being an amateur sport for so long on the marketing end, especially in the U.S., is a little bit behind. So it's only, the last 10, 15 years truly become a professional sport. So as it develops into a fully professional sport, it's competing with, and established sports for those media contracts. But in Europe, it's established and it's great environments you can get into.
So a lot, like I mentioned, a lot of our listeners are just big football fans. And I remember talking to USC offensive line coaches over the years. And one of the things, you're looking for footwork and technique and stuff. And you can get a lot of that if they happen to throw, the shot put or something in high school, that would be something that would kind of translate. I think I talked with John a little bit this when we had lunch the other day, but I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this, just the sort of tie-ins to football have you seen that before? And then are there opportunities to, hey, I want to talk to some of these offensive linemen and get them, because they're already on full scholarship, to come over and throw for the track team. Is that something that happens or can't happen? Okay. You want to, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I already hit up Lincoln Riley on that. But, we want anybody he has to come and fill the shop. We need them. Because of our limitation in scholarships, we have trouble filling all the events. Again, we have 12 and a half scholarships, and against UCLA, we have 19 events. So it's tough to fill all the spots. But, yeah, I talked to Lincoln Riley, and then I talked to the football players who are out here, and asked any of them if they threw the shot.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to hustle anyone I can. By the way, I want to mention that Connor's dad was a two-time Olympian for Ireland and the hammer throw.
Oh, okay.
And then you got Connor, who is Olympian, and then you got Martin here, who's a two-time Olympian for Croatia, and he actually holds the national record in the discus for Croatia.
Wow!
And both these guys won the NCAA title, Martin for Cal and Connor for USC. So you have some very, very talented athletes here in front of you.
So half of the half of this room is talented, I think.
And we chose throwing over football too. So
yeah. And you started at Princeton, right, Connor? Or is it, did you Princeton then to USC?
That's correct. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah. So I went to Princeton right out of high school, and it was a great place. I really enjoyed the people there, the coaches there. But I was looking for a place where I could really excel inside the classroom and outside the classroom. And I also had some family health issues at the same time. So after a year at Princeton, I had to make a tough call and make a transition. And that's where USC came into the picture. Back then, it was Dan Lang, who I was in touch with through the recruiting process. And I called him up, and we picked up right where we left off. And I was able to join the team, get an indoor season as well as an outdoor season, and then win a national championship. So
pretty impressive. Nice. Wait, so what years were you at SC? What was the?
So 14 and 15.
14. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Nice.
So 14 was sort of the transition season, and then 15 ready to go, competed. And did well.
And which Olympics were you? Did you
2016?
2016. Okay.
Yeah.
And Martin, you did two Olympics, right? And you yes. were Virginia. You went to school in Virginia.
I went to school to Cal Berkeley.
Oh, Berkeley.
So yeah, yeah.
Why was you? Oh, you were coaching at Virginia.
I was coaching in Virginia.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, 2008 and 2012 Olympics.
Oh wow. Okay.
I represented Croatia, but yeah, I was competing in the West Coast. But while throwing for Cal, and I do remember. Facilities here at USC. And I'm like, well, that's a great school, but they don't have facilities. That's why. But still, coach did a great job getting all these very, very talented throwers. NCAA record in track and field and hammer throw is a USC guy. Right? Oh, so right. Balázs Kis, yeah, I think that record is going to stay for a while. So there's a great history, even with challenging facilities at USC. But I remember when I was at Cal, visiting here, I'm like, oh man, they can be so much better.
Yeah, what brought you to like the West Coast? So you were coming from Croatia, you're like, I want to go to college, and you can kind of do. I mean, I guess sports is kind of a unique, the American thing, right? Like you,
that is
very professionally. If you're like, I'm good at the hammer, I'm going to be a professional hammer thrower. Yeah. Here you go to college and education. So it's kind of a weird, you know, it's like the way we do it here, but it's just kind of different than most of the rest of the world, I think.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like scholarships for college in anywhere in the world. So this was very unique for me to find out first. And then when I read more about it, this is, you know, before internet blew up and I knew some people, I'm like, yeah, well, of course I want to get a scholarship and go to US, get education to help my family. All right. So this is really, again, why John is doing this for these young men and women to open a door like it did for me. To help our families. So if you are not in big sport like football, American football, NBA, baseball, you can still do a lot in college. You can get your education and get your scholarship, get opportunities and help your family. So that's how I ended up in US. And I, you know, this is the best country in the world. I want to stay here. So I have my family now here. So yeah, that was a reason because of the system that we have.
Yeah. And, Connor, I was talking to you before we recorded and I wanted to get kind of your thoughts on all this, that it's a big deal that the Olympics are coming here again. The Coliseum, so it'll be 2028. I think the Coliseum would be the first building to ever have three Olympics. I think it was the first, only one to have two, maybe that Athens changed that or something. I don't remember, but yeah, that's what kind of, for, you know, a big Olympic sport like track and field, like what does it mean to have, because you were even talking about like, if it was 2024, you would have trained to try to play in the same stadium your dad played in. Yeah. But what does it mean for like this sport and, you know, throwing in particular to have the Olympics coming to LA?
It's huge. Yeah. Having the Olympics in LA again is really exciting for the community, all the track and field community. And we're really excited to be part of that hosting process. We're going to have throwers come here and train and have full access anytime they need. And yeah, for my specific situation, when it was the 2024 Olympics before it was handed off to Paris, I was really considered continuing training. That would have been a very cool opportunity to possibly compete in the same stadium as the old man did. And the reason why, you know, my family ended up in LA was because he competed in the 84 games and found a great community for the physical culture.
Yeah, it's, you know, not having been a part of 84, I wasn't here. I didn't get out to USC till 89. I'm definitely excited to see what this is going to what's going to do for the city. But I know USC was a big part of that. And some of the buildings and, you know, I think the swim stadium, like all that stuff, it seemed to be a big issue here. Like, is, you know, how do you think USC will be involved in the Olympics in 2028? And any of you guys want to?
In a big way. There, I haven't checked the latest master plan, but USC is going to be assisting LA 2028 committee in quite a few different ways. I know that the mission of 2028 is to use facilities that already exist. You know, it's kind of, we don't need to create a big stadium that isn't going to be used in the future. We already have all of it in LA. And some of those USC locations between training and competition venues will definitely be used.
Did you get involved with that at all, John? Like for Olympics coming or anything? Is that-
well, believe it or not, we did the sewers around the Coliseum in 1984. So that's
when your company did.
My company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 1984, we did the sewers around the Coliseum. And they still work. I always ask everybody if they can flush the toilets. They still work. But yeah, we had the Olympic Committee here for our groundbreaking, and they were here, and she actually gave a speech.
Okay.
So I think they are really looking at favorable light, Connor, and do probably using this as a training site for Olympic Games, which would be really neat.
That's right. It's going to be different athletes by the time 2028 comes around, but just having all the Olympic athletes here, like, what does that, you know, what could that mean for like a USC track team?
Oh, it's enormous the way we can present how the best of the best in the world are training here. And obviously using the state of art facilities, it's enormous advantage in recruiting, but also in education. We can learn from these athletes, Olympians, Olympic champions, how they train. We can have them on site and learn from them. Is there something that we haven't seen being done, the way they train, that they will warm up? They're going to be here in training. So this is going to be a huge learning opportunity for all of us. Coaches as well as athletes to see that firsthand. Yeah,
We mentioned earlier in the show too. I know we half an hour, so we'll try to wrap this up pretty quick. But the Pac-12 Championships was this past weekend. Just kind of give people an update of sort of where USC track and field finished in Pac-12, and then what's going on, you know, for the NCAAs, I guess, or whatever's up next.
Yes,
for you guys.
We ended up being second both on women and men. Overall, combined, we scored the most points than any Pac-12 team. We have a really, really good team of young men and women who are coming back next year for NCAA. We're looking very, very good in sprints and jumps. Our coaches did a great job of recruiting new class. We have some good throwers coming in next year as well. So I think overall, we're now building a championship that we can win again. We won on the women's side last time, 2021. On the men's side, we're looking much better in terms of competing for NCAA championships. That's what we want to do. That's what Coach Watts, his goal is. And with these facilities and support that we have, we can do that now. So very, very exciting next 4 years.
Is it just for people that aren't super familiar, which I'd be one of them, with how the scoring goes? And when you have limited, there's sometimes you don't have athletes to fill all the spots. Is it harder to win like a dual meet sometimes than like winning where there's a whole bunch of people competing? You're like an NCAA championship. Like it's hard to beat UCLA one-on-one. But if you're doing a championship and you get to do all this, is that sort of accurate or how does that work?
Yeah, to win a dual meet, you definitely have to have very diverse team, a lot of kids in each event. Conference championships is similar in a way that you need big numbers of people. NCAAs, because you're competing now with 300 teams, when you have those kids who are ranked top eight, that helps a lot. So you don't have to win with 140 points like you do in conference. You can win with 60 points if you have those individuals. And we're looking right now with conference, we almost won. We had a couple of injuries, but for NCAAs, we only just need those few athletes that can do really well. So it's quality at national championships.
Yeah, John, what's up?
I was going to talk about the scholarship problem with UCLA.
Here. Go right ahead.
Yeah. It is a problem. SC is very expensive to go to, and public universities are much less expensive. So when we only have 12 and a half scholarships, and at UCLA dual meet, there's 19 events. We can't fill all spots, and basically UCLA will walk in there with 45 points on the midside before we even put a man on the field, because there are probably five events we can't be competitive in because we just don't have enough scholarships. I was looking at myself, and most of these big teams are 55 people on them teams, and we have 35 people. So that's our disadvantage. But in the Nationals, if we have the best talent, we can be competitive. So we have beat UCLA. The girls have won 9 times in a row now. But again, they have 18 scholarships. That's a big help. And we beat them every other time recently. But we went 22 years in a row. We didn't beat UCLA.
On the men's side.
On the men's side. And that was after Title IX set in, because that's when the scholarships went from 30 to 12 and a half.
Okay.
And so we really didn't have a chance. But we're doing better now. But it is a big disadvantage for a public university, I mean, a private university like USC, where the tuition is so high, to compete with some of these public schools.
All right. And then, Connor, we can kind of, I think we'll probably wrap it up with this unless we have anything else. But the, like I said, a lot of football fans here, NIL has just become a big part of it. When they follow football recruiting and someone decides to go to Oregon instead of USC, they're like, oh, that's Phil Knight, he wrote a check or whatever it is. But, there's a lot of different, you guys are working with the House of Victory, and they've made a bunch of announcements. I know you guys had football players come down, like Caleb Williams and guys like that coming down and doing charity work, in exchange for some sort of compensation. But kind of where is, South Bay Athletic Club with USC NIL and kind of helping with football, but on the other sports as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are just primarily community-based, and we work with all of the sports. Recently, we've had Caleb in. We've had lots of football players over. I floated the idea last fall with the Boys and Girls Club. I was like, hey, I know we're doing all these track events, and it's really good. You guys are liking those. How would you like to work with some football players? The South Bay Athletic Club has some funding for it. If you guys are interested, then I can help set that up. And they were really excited about it. And we got it rolling, and we were able to bring Caleb in. He did a great job, and his players really, really stood out with the community. We had the local high school football teams out. They had access to a Q&A before and then out on the field to do some drills after. The community really benefited from it. We're going to continue to do events like that in the future. Across all the sports, we had women's basketball out. And they did a great job with the Boys and Girls Club kids. We're excited to keep those rolling.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, is there anything else? A lot of topics here. I love the track education. I told a couple of you guys, my grandfather was big into track and was actually a alternate official for the 84 Olympics out here. And I just never, a lot of friends are big in the track. I wasn't very fast, I guess. I just never did. Yeah, I played other sports, but it was, yeah. So it's great to kind of see this. And definitely three people are very passionate about the sport, and guys have competed at a very high level. So this has been very educational for me. And hopefully the listeners liked it too. But I appreciate the time for all you guys. Thank you for coming in here and showing the great facility and sitting down with me and all this equipment and everything we got in here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to this special edition of the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting.
Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.